This is your friend, John Walden. We're glad you've joined us in our study in 2 Corinthians. And we are now looking at the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and the first 10 verses. This continues the thought of the perishing of the body. Now, we saw in the last chapter that the body is called an earthen vessel, that it's called mortal flesh, that it's called our outward man, and it's called temporal. It has to do only with time. But now the Lord has something very wonderful in store for us. He wants us to understand that there is something ahead for the believer, and we do not need to fear it. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle or this tent were dissolved or taken down, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice, we know. The basis of confidence for a Christian is the Word of God, because as he said in verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight, and not by feelings either, and not by traditions, and not by church teachings. So we know because we have God's word for it. This is a revelation from God. No one knows anything about life after death except what God has given to us, the information that we have here. And don't go seeking it from witches and familiar spirits and this type of thing. You turn to the scriptures if you want the truth. The earthly house of our tabernacle simply emphasizes the fact that we are not living in a permanent home. Some people act as though they expected to be here forever, but they're not going to be. And the older we get, the more we see that this is very temporary. In contrast to this, he talks about an eternal house or body in the heavens. Now, this body has not yet been prepared for us, of course. He's not talking about an intermediate state either. He's not talking about something that we're to occupy until the Lord comes back. He's merely stating it as a fact and stating it in the present so as to emphasize its reality. We who are here in this body, we're told in verse 2, groan, because we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, some people say that our house in heaven is a mansion, but notice that he says that it is from heaven. It's not heaven itself, and it's not some place to live in heaven, and it's not even a temporary body for us in between time. And our groaning that he talks about here in verse 2 is not our groaning because of illness or old age, although we certainly do groan about these things, but a right desire, a desire to see the Lord glorified when death is finally done away with, when the conquering of Satan is complete. He was conquered at the cross, and death is still an enemy, even of believers. But the time is coming when the Lord will redeem even our bodies. This body is a limitation to believers, and we're painfully conscious of this many times. In the third verse, he tells us that the body is likened to clothing, and unclothed signifies the intermediate state. There's no such thing as a temporary body taught in the Bible. If you think that he's talking about a temporary body, then why would he call it eternal in the heavens at the end of verse 1? No, we don't need bodies in heaven. God is going to give us bodies. He's going to do this as part of his complete conquering of Satan and his evil work. But Paul said that he was caught up into the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. If he was in the body, it was no hindrance. If he was out of the body, he didn't miss it, because bodies are not necessary in heaven. We never read of God the Father having a body. We read that the Son took a body. We read that the Holy Spirit indwells our bodies. Angels do not have bodies. They had to take some kind of corporeal likeness in order to appear to men. But it's not necessary to have a body. It's not necessary in order to be happy. Your personality does not dwell in your body. Witness the fact that regardless of whether you're young or old, on the outside, you may still be young at heart. So the body is merely clothing for the present time. And we're to be unclothed if we go home to heaven before the Lord Jesus comes back for us. But notice that he says in verse 3, "Indeed, when that we are clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, he's referring here to the unconverted. You see, everyone's body will be raised. If you're not saved, your body's going to be raised. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. You wish that you weren't, that you wouldn't be, I'm sure. But every person will be raised. Those who are raised in their sins and in their sinful bodies will stand naked in the presence of God. You see, our clothing is really the clothing that God, with which God has clothed us, the garment of salvation. We're clothed as the prodigal was clothed when he came back to the Father. The Father said, "Bring forth the best robe," and they brought it out of the house. So all of us who have received Christ are clothed upon, and now and for all eternity. If you die without Christ, you have a body, all right, and you live eternally in that body, but you will be eternally naked in the eyes of God, just as Adam and Eve were when they had sinned against God, until God clothed them with the coats of skin. So we who are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, that is, we're not selfish about this, we're not simply wanting to get out of difficulty, but we're looking on to the time when we shall be clothed upon with mortality, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, mortality always has to do with the body. There's no such thing as mortal soul or immortal soul mentioned in Scripture. It's always the body that is mortal, and that simply means dying. And the fact that we have a body that is gradually dying is a great limitation to us as Christians. And we'd be glad for that to be swallowed up of life. Now, you already have eternal life if you're a child of God, but you don't have life in your body. You don't have that eternal body. You don't have that glorified body. And that's what he's talking about here in this passage, as he was in 1 Corinthians 15. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Who was it that made us his children? Who was it who gave us the earnest of the Spirit?" And this, by the way, shows that every true believer does have the Holy Spirit, because he is the earnest, or the foretaste, the sample, the guarantee of the completion of a work. "He who hath begun a good work in you shall finish it, shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ." Now, our confidence, according to verses 6 through 8, is a confidence that's based upon what we know and what has already been stated. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You see, our confidence goes beyond just getting to heaven and being happy there. It goes to the coming of the Lord. It goes to our seeing him face to face. We're looking forward to that time when we shall be with him. And of course, being with him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's 1 John 3, and that has reference to this very same topic, our being like him physically. Too bad that many Christians are not really enjoying the prospect of the coming of the Lord, and it's too bad that many are trying to rob us of the wonderful hope, the rapture of believers. I'm so glad that I've learned to look for the Lord Jesus. And we ought to be really looking for him day by day, loving his appearing. Now, we want to see him glorified. And this is our great and our joyous confidence. And it's by faith, as verse 7 says. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, or we would choose rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And although our blessed hope is the return of Christ, that doesn't keep us from wishing to be with the Lord, even though it means going through death to get there. Death, after all, is only the doorway into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, there is no such thing as soul sleep. There's no such thing as a time when we are unconscious. The minute that a Christian's spirit and soul leaves the body, he is present with the Lord. What a marvelous thing this is. And we ought to be longing for the time when he'll come back and when he'll set everything right. Now he says, wherefore, we, and the word labor is hardly right here, it means that we have a zealous desire that whether present or absent, we may be, this says, accepted in the King James Version, from which I am reading, but we are already accepted in the Beloved. It means simply, well-pleasing. Because he's done so much for us, we desire to make him glad. We desire to live in such a way as to be well-pleasing to him. Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou hast loved us and given thyself for us and given us thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee, our Father, for sending thy Son, and we pray for thy blessing on thy word now to both saint and sinner for the namesake of the Lord Jesus. Amen.